Good morning. Today's daf Baba Kama Kuf Dalid. We're going to start today on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to be starting with the Gemara Nishbalo Lo. The Gemara is going to be asking a question, but before we ask the question, let's just back up for 1 second. Let's just go over the Mishnah. Mishnah here in the ninth parak of Baba Kama shifted gears just a little bit. Up until now in the ninth parak, we talked about whether or not Shinu is Kona. Changing an item, making a physical change in an item after having stolen the item creates a kinyan. That's been our discussion since the beginning of the ninth parak. Give or take. And now in yesterday's Mishnah, so what we did is that the Mishnah decided that it's going to go back to the mitzvah of Hashavas Zela, returning a lost item. The Mishnah pointed out that you steal from your friend, and then you make a shvur that you didn't, that you don't have it. And then afterwards you're moda. Now the reason why the Mishnah constructs such a scenario is because it's a mitzvah in the Torah. I say the word mitzvah. You understand, by the way, mitzvah over here does not mean something we want to do, but in other words, but the Torah describes this very scenario at the end of Parshas Vayikra, the very end, literally the tail end of the Parsha. The Torah describes exactly the scenario. You have somebody else's money. Now, it doesn't have to be gzela. It could be gzela, could be pikadon, right? It could be just wages that you owe somebody. You have somebody else's money. Then he goes over and he makes a claim. You deny owing the money. That's a kfira. And then afterwards, you made a shvua to the effect that you don't owe the money. Okay. And then after having made a shvua, then you're moda, right? A sleepless night. Your conscience got the best of you, and you made a shvua. So under those circumstances, the Torah says, here's going to be your list of liabilities, three in total. One, you have to pay back, obviously, principal. That's Karen. Number two, you also have to pay back a chomesh. That's 25%. And number three is that you have to bring a karban asham. Once you do those three things, then now you have achieved kapara, and now you are good. The Mishnah yesterday taught us that in order to return, it means you have to return. I know that doesn't sound profound, but what that means is that if you're here, he's there. So wherever there may be, you got to go hunt him down, and you got to bring him back the item. It is your responsibility to go and deliver the item to him wherever he may be. He's a madai. That's fine. That's okay. In other words, you're going to go out to Madai. It cost a fortune for the ticket to go fly out there. Okay. Perfect. Good. That's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. There are a couple of other details, which I'm not going over right now. But for our purposes today, so that's the part that we got to focus in on. And that is that when you're doing the mitzvah of Hashavas HaGzela, so what you have to do is that you have to go ahead and you have to find him. You have to find him. You have to bring it to him. Travel expenses. That's you. That's incurred upon you. You want to do the mitzvah of Hashavas HaGzela. You got to go find him. Good. That is all but set up. Now we are on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis and Nishba Lo In Lo Nishba Lo Lo. And now the Gemara is going to be Medayik, meaning in the Mishnah. What was the Mishnah scenario? You made a shvua. Under those circumstances, now it is incumbent upon you to go find him. However, what if you didn't make a shvua? Simple gzela. In other words, you stole, and now you want to return. If you're going to read our Mishnah critically, which of course is the way we have to read our Mishnayos, so if you read it critically, what comes out now is that without a shvua, and all I need to do is just simply return, there's no need to find him. In other words, I'll simply call him on the phone. I know, a bit of an anachronism. I'll call him on the phone and say, look, real sorry, stole your item, come over and pick it up. That's what it sounds like in the Mishnah. So if that's true, money lo, Rabbi Tarfon lo, Rabbi Kiva. If what we just said is correct, then our Mishnah is going like nobody. Not like Rabbi Tarfon, not like Rabbi Kiva. There is a machlokus between the two, ditnan. So this is a Mishnah in Yevamos. I know it's a funny place for this Mishnah to exist. It doesn't matter. It's a Mishnah in Yevamos. And that is Gazal Echa Mechamisha, Veni Yodea Meiza Mehem, V'chol Echad Omer, Osi Gazal. So the Mishnah over there describes the following scenario, and that is that I stole from somebody. It happens to be, there are five candidates of who I stole from. I don't know. They're all living together. I took from the house. I don't know which one, who it belonged to. Anyway. Okay. We're here now. We're at the point where I stole from one of five people. I don't know who it is. And then I knock on the door and I say, look, I'm really sorry. I stole from one of you. Could the victim please identify himself? And what all five of them say is, I'm the victim. Okay. Now, you have what's called a problem. Okay. So, Minich Gzela B'Neim HaMasaleg Div Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon tells you that what you'll do is the following, and that is that I'll take the stolen item, which I stole, I'll put it down there at the front of the door, and I'll say, look, I stole it from one of you. I don't know who it is. In other words, and it belongs to one of you. And so I'm leaving it here, right in front of you, and you guys figure it out. Good. And Rabbi Akiva, Amar lo zu aderech. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you want to do tshuva? I'll tell you how you're going to do tshuva, and that is you're going to reimburse every one of them. Now, obviously, what that means on your part is that now you're going to be paying an additional four times the amount of that which you stole. Okay? But in other words, but you want to do tshuva. You know you stole. You know you want to be meshiv. You want to return. It just happens to be that this, in this circumstance, five people are claiming they're the victim. Okay. And you can't identify who it is. So according to Rabbi Kiva, what you have to do now is that you have to reimburse all five of them. Okay.
Obviously, four of those guys are in love with themselves.
Right. Creating now. What an excellent point. Creating four new gun oven. Okay. Some money. So now the Gemara wants to know, so who is now the author of our Mishnah? Now, according to Rabbi Tarfon, presumably, and again, we're making a bunch of assumptions, but presumably, according to Rabbi Tarfon, so it doesn't matter whether or not there's a shvua, there's no shvua, meaning what did Rabbi Tarfon say? Just leave it there and let them figure it out. And even if there's a shvua, meaning unlike our Mishnah says door-to-door delivery. Right. In other words, you have to go find him. You have to bring it to him. And that's not Rabbi Tarfon of the Mishnah Yevamos. Rabbi Tarfon of the Mishnah Yevamos says, just drop it. Let them figure it out. And we're assuming right now, even with the Shvua, we'll do that. And Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara says, and now what? You want to tell me we're going like Rabbi Akiva? Avagav de lo ishtava. Amar ashi yisham gzele cholachav echad. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, you have to bring the stolen item back to its owner, period. With or without a shvua. Now, remember, how do we critically read our Mishnah? We said that the Mishnah's requirement to go and deliver the gzela to the nigzal is only in the case of shvua. Meanwhile, Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah Yevamos says, with or without a shvua, you have to return it to him. Okay. So now it comes out, here's the struggle, which we're going to take. It's going to take a little bit of time to try to unpackage. And that is that our Mishnah here in Baba Kama is not going neither like Rabbi Kiva nor like Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, so la'olam. So the Gemara is going to try to do this in one of three different ways. So we're going to go rounds 1, 2, and 3. Round number 1. La'olam Rabbi Kiva. Here's what we're going to start off suggesting, and that is our Mishnah is really going like Rabbi Kiva. V'chi kamar Rabbi Kiva. Achi shalem gzele cholachaveh hechad ishtavu dekamar. And what Rabbi Kiva will tell you is that when is it in fact the case that you have to go ahead and return and deliver to all five people, that's only in the case of Shvua. Now, I know the Mishnah didn't mention that point over there in Yevamos, but we'll say it. We'll say that there was a Shvua over there. Now, why is Shvua going to make all the difference? My time, Gemara says, Damakra. Lasher hu lo yinena biyamash maso. Because in the case of Shvua, so now we're not just in the mitzvah of Heshev HaSegzela, now we are in the end of Parshas Vayikra. And when you read the psukim over there, a person made a claim, you stole. A person made a claim, you stole. You deny. You swear. And then you admit. Now, just all you have to do is just read the psukim. La'asher hu lo yitnenu biyamash maso. Whoever it belongs to, you will return it to him. So now that you're in that parsha, because you made a shvua, because you admitted that you lied falsely, so now that you're there, so now all you just do is read the rest of the pasuk, which tells you, you have to now go and return it to him. It will be insufficient to call him up and say, hey, I stole your item, come pick it up. Okay, good.
He swears five times to five different people?
Meaning all of them are making claims. Right. His shvua is just simply, I didn't seal it. Is he making the shvua to each one of them individually in this ukimta? I'm not sure. So, Rabbi Tarfon, Avagav Delishtava, Avad Rabbana Takanta. Now, as far as Rabbi Tarfon is concerned, so even without a shvua, so what the Chachamim did is they did the following. They made a takana, Ditanya. The we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Amar, Tekana Gedola, Hitkinu, She'im, Aisa, Hotsa'a, Yisera, La Karen, Misham Karen, V'chamash, Labezdin, Umevi, Hashem, Omis, Kaperlo, meaning that, look, what you did was wrong, you stole, and now, what does the Torah say? The Torah says you got to go and you got to return the item to him. But what if he's a Madai, and what if the expenses of going to Madai are really high? You are not going to be incentivized to do tshuva. In other words, it'll be a drag. It'll weigh you down. It'll be a weight to want to do tshuva. If you know that in order to facilitate tshuva, you're going to have to go and travel over there. No, thank you. So what they did is they made the following tekana. The chachamim decided that in order to help and facilitate tshuva, here's what we're saying. If the expenses of travel exceed the amount of the item that you stole, now you have the following out. And that is that you'll drop it off at Beis Din, together, of course, with the Chumash. You'll bring your Karban Hashem, and all is good. Now, even though the Torah tells you that you have to go return it to the individual, so the Chachamim stepped in, the Chachamim said, to facilitate tshuva, so we'll make such a takana. V'Rabbi Akiva, ki avid rabban takan teheche di ad laman gazlei, dekama ad lemamun lamare. So gazal echem echemisha de lo yado laman gazlei, de lo hadar mamun lamare, lo avid rabban takanta. Now, what's Rabbi Akiva going to say? I don't believe there was ever such a takana. It's hard to imagine. Meaning, and we're having a machlokas whether there was or there wasn't a takana. So the Gemara explains, no. According to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva subscribes to this takana, that if the travel expenses exceed the cost of the item, so then you can just simply leave it off by basin. Rabbi Akiva says, I'll give you that. However, over here, the Gazlan not only stole, but also, look, he doesn't even know who the victim is. So under those circumstances, five people are claiming that they're the victim. So Rabbi Akiva says, now you want to do tshuva, where not only you stole, but you can't even identify the victim. Now the Chachamim said, we're not affording you the takana. You're now going to have to go and you're going to have to find all five of them and reimburse all five of them. Okay.
In the Chachamim's case, what does the Bezin do with this stuff? They don't know who the guy is
either. Within the Shita now of Rabbi Tarfon, so now they're going to, in other words, Bezin will do what he would have done. In other words, what he would have done is he would have found the five of them and say, here,
figure it out.
And Bezin will do the same thing. But in other words, what the takana allows you to do is that you don't have to find all five of them. In other words, you could just give it by Basin. It will be Basin's problem. But again, the whole purpose of this is to facilitate tshuva. Okay. So far, so good. We now have at least a proposal that our Mishnah is really subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And the mission Yavamos is talking about a case where you made a shvua. Okay. Now, Meis Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So now the Gemara is going to be bothered because we have a Braisa. And the Braisa reads as follows. L'nech luka Rabbi Tav from Rabbi Kiva. Al shalakach me'echa mechamisha ve'ina yodea me'eze mehen lakach. So, sheminech demeyem mekach b'neyem u'mistalek. Okay. So, according to this Braisa, we have a scenario in which you stole from one of five possible people, and you don't know who it is. They're both going to agree, according to this Braisa, that what you're going to do is you're just going to drop it there, leave it there, and that's it. So, Aman Nechlaku, so new. So, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Kim and Rabbi Tafon? And that is Shegazal Mecha Mechem Shabane Adam Yehine Yodem Ezemim Gazal. Sorry. Let me do that again. Let me do it correctly. Okay. I made a small mistake.
It's a tie.
Okay. In other words, when are they not arguing? They're not arguing over a sale. Okay. In other words, in a case of a purchase, so in the case of a purchase where I purchased from one of the five of you, okay, you were in the market, you were in the shuk, you were haggling, you were negotiating. It happens to be that you were negotiating with five different people. Ultimately, you ended up buying it from one of those five people. You don't know which one you bought it from. And now what you could do is that you could just simply drop the money and run. Five people say that they're the seller. I know it's strange, by the way. In other words, you don't remember who you actually bought. whatever.
What's more irony is that five people are claiming that he stole from him, so four of them are lying.
Okay, we'll get to the stealing in just a moment. Where they agree is in the case of a sale. In the case of a sale, where five people say that they owe the money because it was a sale, and you don't know who you bought it from. So what you'll do is you drop the money and you run. Good. That's where they agree. Where do they disagree? Al manechliku. There we go. Shegazel mecha 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 mishabnei adam ve'eni yudei meizem engazel rabbi tarfan amay minyach demay gazela b'neihem umistal rabbi kiva mein lo takanai sheshem gzel lechol acha ve'achad. So in the case of theft, like we already know, but the Bryce over here now is giving us a little bit more insight. Isa kedacha di ishtaba mali lekach mali gazel. The Gemara says, now, you can't make the argument like you tried to do moments earlier, that this is with a shvua. Because over here, what are we discussing side by side? A case of sale and a case of theft. Now, in a case of sale, what shvua is there to make? In other words, you bought it from somebody, period. There's no shvua. So in the case of sale, there's no shvua. In the case of theft also, there is no shvua. Meaning we were trying to make the argument that the case of theft has to be where there was a shvua in tow. After reading the Braisa, that's really hard to argue. The Od Mesiv, and the Gemara says, and look, we now know that there's no shvua. But even before we move on to our next approach, the Gemara says, on top of that, I'm just going to add fuel to this fire. Even though this fire is strong enough as it is, and the Od Mesiv Rava Ma'isa B'Chassid Echad Shalakich Mishnei Bnei Adam V'Lo Yah Yodei Meizem Amlakach, a story with a Chassid, and what he did is he bought from one of two people. Okay, so he was haggling with two different people. He ended up buying, but he doesn't know who he purchased from. Uvalifnei Rabbi Tarfon, and the matter came in front of Rabbi Tarfon. Amalo Hanachtemei Mecha Beinem V'Istalek. And Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, they both claim that they're the seller, so just put the money down, the purchase price down, and let them work it out, let them figure it out. Uvalifnei Rabbi Akiva Amar lo in lecha takanai chi tishalem lechol achav echad. And Rabbi Akiva said, no, you got to pay each one of them. Is agadacha mishtava chasim mishtava b'shikra. Now, what are you going to argue over here? Oh, this is a case of shvua. What are you talking about? This is a case of shvua? Who right now are we talking about? We're talking about a chasid. You're going to suggest that he's given the title chassid and he's going to make a false shvua? That's crazy. V'chitem et mishtaba v'hadar v'chassid. So the Gemara said, okay, just because you're a chassid now doesn't mean you were a chassid your whole life. In other words, it could very well be that earlier in his life, so he made mistakes. Okay, I kind of feel like we all did. And then what happens is that later in life, not only did he correct, not only did he become a Baal Shuvah, he became a Chassid. So you're saying, how could he have made a false Shavua? Maybe earlier in his life he did. V'ha, kol hechad amin ha-maisa b'chassid echad, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Elai. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Elai, chassidim d'mikara havo. But the Gemara says, yeah, but whenever we tell a story regarding Chassid echad, so we know that that's coded language for a particular Tana. Now, there are two candidates of who it could be, but regardless of which one it is, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Elai. Whichever Rabbi Yehuda is, we know that they are Chassidim. Not later in life, they were Chassidim over the duration of their life. So, we now know that we are looking at a case of a sale where you bought it from one of two people, you don't know which one it is, and Rabbi Akiva says what you're going to do is that you're going to pay each one of them. There was no Shavua involved. We know there's no Shavua involved. Why? Because the story involved a Chassid. Who's the Chassid? Whoever it is, Rabbi Yehuda, whichever Rabbi Yehuda it is, it's somebody who's not going to be making a false shvua. There was no shvua. Oh, okay, fine. So we made the proposal right now. Our first proposal of the morning is that our Mishnah and the Mishnah Yevamos is talking about where shvua was made. Okay, cancel that thought. It's not true. It's not correct. Okay, so El Olam Rabbi Tarfoni. Okay, so here we are now, back to the drawing board. Again, let's reset. Our Mishnah tells us that in the event that you make a shvua, and now there are five possible victims, so Rabbi Tarfon will say, drop the money and run. Rabbi Kiva will say, you will go find them, and you will pay each one of them. Okay? And that sounds like only when there is a shvua do you have to, is a requirement. I'm sorry. Our Mishnah is not talking about where there are five victims. Our Mishnah is just simply saying, you stole, you denied, you made a shvua, you admitted, you got to find them. The deek in our Mishnah is that if you didn't make a shvua, you just simply stole. You don't have to go find him. You call them up and say, sorry, I stole, come pick it up. That's our Mishnah. The Mishnah in Yevamos, that's talking about where five possible victims. I don't know which one. Rabbi Tarfon says drop the money. And Rabbi Kiva will say, find each one of them. Who is our Mishnah subscribing to? Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Tarfon? And right now, proposal number one, we tried it. It didn't work. Proposal number two. Olololam, Rabbi Tarfon, Hiyamod, Rabbi Tarfon. Hechadishtava. Okay, so I'll tell you that our Mishnah is really Rabbi Tarfon. Now, our Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfon. Wait 1 second. Rabbi Tarfon says, just drop the money in the Mishnah Yevamos. So the Gemara says, yeah, our Mishnah is different. Why? Because you made a Shvuah. So my time, I'm a Krala, Asher Hulo, Yinena B'yamash Maso. Good. And we know making a Shvuah is different because, again, once you made a Shvuah, so now you are in Parshas Vayikra, like we described, or like we discussed earlier. And Rabbi Akiva, Avagav Delo Mishnah B'kanis, and Rabbi Akiva will tell you is that, look, even without a Shvuah, the Chachamim said, you want to go, you stole. And now you want to do tshuva? According to Rabbi Kiva, even though Mi'ikar Adin, you don't have to go and find the individual, but you know what? You want to do tshuva? The Chachamim said to you, we're going to penalize you, you're going to go find him, and you're going to return the item to him.
But in one case, it's multiple victims, and you don't know who the victim is, and in the other case, you know who he stole from.
So that distinction is fantastic. Hold that thought, as we're going to come back to your point in just a moment. Okay. I've marveled at this before, but I have another opportunity today to marvel again. In other words, the Gemara, I'm going to try to say this respectfully. The Gemara is a little all over the place in terms of like our attitude towards the Gazlan. Meaning, on one hand, or like we just saw it in the Gemara. On one hand, the Gemara says, you know what? Let's facilitate tshuva. Let's make it easier for him. Right? In other words, the travel expenses are really high. Drop it off by the Beis Din. You're good. Okay. In other words, we'll bend halacha, right? In other words, please understand me within the context of our Gemara. We bend halacha in order to facilitate tshuva. And then, like we just read another line of the Gemara where Rabbi Akiva says, I know Me'ikar Adin, you don't have to go find him. But you know what? Knas. We're going to penalize him. He's a thief. We're going to penalize him. And like, it just...
Five times?
Yeah, it's a lot. Right, I'm with you. In other words, but the Gemara really does straddle like a pretty broad spectrum in terms of what our attitude to the Gazlan should be. And it's not often I do this, but I'm just expressing my own amazement in terms of like there really is a broad range of where we stand regarding the Gazlan, like how sympathetic we should be to him, and at the same time like how like. You know, you need to come to grips with what you did. Okay.
Why don't we apply the principle of Shimon Boring? Like the guy says, I stole one item, right?
Yeah.
But the five people claiming he stole from each of them.
Yeah.
Five. So they're a Shimon. He's a Boring. So he.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. He has a long note about that question. The Rishonim are bothered by your question. Very very good. Very good. Okay, Rabbi Tarfon, Michli Hechad Mishtaba Lo Sagid Lahoda. So the Gemara says now, according to Rabbi Tarfon, now if you made a shvuah, you know the shvuah by itself is just simply part of the denial. Okay, when do we get to the point of you returning the item? If after the shvuah you admit, meaning we're not going to get anywhere without an admission. The story doesn't really start without an admission. An admission of guilt is necessary so that now you're going to want to do tshuva and you're going to want to return the item. So my yirya nishva, afilu shvua nami. So the Gemara says, so really, why does the shvua become critical? The shvua just sets us up for, oh, you know what? I swore falsely. I admit now I was wrong. Even if you didn't swear falsely, in other words, you're going to return the item when? You make an admission. Admission really is the critical point. So, Uketetanya, the Gemara says, and consider the following brisa. Moder, Rabbi Tarfon, Bar Milashim, Gazalte, Echamikam, Eniode, Ezemikam. No, Sin Lezem, Mana, Lezem, Mana, Shekvar, Hodom, Epiatmo. And in fact, let me show it to you this way. I have a brisa where Rabbi Tarfon says the following. The Gazlan says, he says, I stole from the one of you two. I don't know which one I stole from. It's not that the two of them are making claims. He himself fully admits, I don't know who I stole from. I stole from one of you two. Under those circumstances, even Rabbi Tarfon will tell you, you got to go bring it back to each one of them. Okay, so, Elam Arava. So here we are now, round three. We are looking for the identity of our Mishnah. We know we have two candidates, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon. They are both found in the Mishnah Yevamos. We went through their positions numerous times this morning. And now all we want to do is we want to know, of those two, which one do I plug into our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says that what you have to do is that you have to go and find them and you have to return it to them. And even if they're in Madai, and who is the author of our Mishnah? Is it Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Tarfon? Meaning Rabbi Tarfon tells you just simply drop the money and run. Rabbi Akiva says you got to pay each one of them. Okay, so, Ella Amarava. So here we are, round three. Shani Masnissen, Kevin Diadol, Aman Gazle, Va'odele, Kevin Deshal, Adur, Memon Lamare, Havale, Kamanda Amarle, Yuli Biadcha, Yuli Biadcha, Hilkach Nishba, Afagab de Kamarle, Yuli Biadcha, Kevin de Bai Kapara, Lo Sagi Adamatele Yade, Halo Ishtabe Gabe, Pikadan Ada Asavishakole. Okay. I know I just read a lot. This is basically Alan's point, which I asked him to hold, but now this is what Alan said moments earlier. And that is, there's really just a very basic fundamental difference between the Mishnah Yevamos and our discussion over here. The Mishnah Yevamos, I don't know who I stole from. Okay. Over here, I stole and I know full well the identity of the victim. I know who it is. And in our Mishnah over here, once I identify the victim, and I know who the identity of the victim is. So now, hi, I stole from you. I know who you are. You know now you know who I am. So now you have to return it to the person. It's really that simple. The Mishnah Yevamos is talking about a case where you stole, but you can't identify who the victim is. And more than that, worse than that, now five people are stepping forward saying, hey, you know, they're the victim. So under those circumstances, so there, you don't know who you stole from. So now the Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva are going to disagree in terms of what the best practice should be. Rabbi Tarfon says drop the money. Rabbi Kiva says pay each one of them. But that's an unknown identity. Here, I know who I stole from. Therefore, so you are in need of kapara. How do you achieve kapara? By returning it to the person that you stole from. Okay, good. It's really that simple, and so therefore the cases of Yevamos and our Mishnah over here are not at all related or connected. And our Mishnah over here, it could go like Rabbi Kiva, could go like Rabbi Tarfon. In other words, it's not a fair comparison. Okay, good. Ad kan, that takes us to the first part of today's daf. We are now on Kuf Dala Amar Alf Lo Yiten Lo Levnev Lo Lushlucha. Okay. And here we go.
So in that case, does halacha follow Rabbi Kiva?
In that case over there, so I assume the halacha falls like Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, the halacha is Rabbi Kiva mecha ve'ro.
Right.
Good. Okay. Now, you stole. You have to return the money back to its rightful owner. You have to go and find him. How about giving it to a son? The Mishnah discussed that. The Mishnah said, don't do it. How about giving it to a shliach? The Mishnah mentioned that as well. And the Mishnah said, don't do it. In other words, if you want to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Hagzela, you yourself have to get up, go, and hand deliver to him. The Gemara is going to have a fascinating discussion now for basically the remainder of today's daf. I envision this is basically what we're going to get to. The middle of the Amud Beis, and that's going to be, how do you deliver money? It's such a simple discussion. How do you deliver money? It's very simple. I give it to a shliach and he'll deliver the money. That's not our discussion. We're going to have the discussion of, I'm going to give it to a shliach, not my shliach, by the way. If I give it to my shliach, that's nothing. In other words, that's just me. I give it to the shliach of the receiving party. When I hand the money over to the shliach, can I wipe my hands of any and all liability? Can we do that? That is what we're going to be discussing for the balance of today. How can I make the handing over of the money to the courier and basically say, that's it. No more liability. So you know how you do it. It's called you get insurance. But Bizman HaGemara, so they weren't necessarily dealing with insurance policies. So in other words, is there halachically a way to do so? Let's discuss. Itmar. Shliach shaso be'edem rechista amar hari shliach and rabbi amar lo avi shliach. So now, okay, we're not necessarily talking about gzela right now. In other words, the delivery of money to its rightful owner. It could be that I'm borrowing money and I'm just simply now repaying my debt. It could be that simple. Or it could just simply be a pikadon. It could be that I was entrusted to wash somebody's money. And now, right, I'd like to give it back to him. He came back. I'd like to give it back to him. And right now he's not here, but I'm going to send it. If I send it via his shliach, are we good now? Meaning, the moment that I hand it off to a shliach, can I now say I no longer have any responsibility or liability? Rav Chisda says that's correct. If he appoints a shliach to collect the money and I hand it to a shliach, so Rav Chisda says he is a shliach. We're good. And Rabbah will say, no. Now, how do you understand Rabbah? We don't have to work that hard. The Gemara spells it out. Rav Chisda amar havi shliach achi tachivik mebeidim deleika berishusei. Rav Chisda's argument is very simple, meaning that the person now who wants his money back and appoints a shliach and he does so in front of Edim, he just went through a lot of trouble. You know why he went through all that trouble? He effectively is saying, the moment you hand over the money to my shliach, you are going to be relieved of liability. That's Rav Chisda. And what's Rabbah's counter-argument? Rabbah's counter-argument is Rabbah Amar, Lo havishlech, hachi kamar, inish mehem nehu, ismach tsmoch, ibailish duri biadei, shadu biadei. Rabbah's counter-argument is as follows. You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you that he's a good guy. I find him to be reliable. He's my shliach. I think he's a good guy. But that does not mean that when you hand it off to the shliach, you're going to be relieved from liability. All I'm doing is just simply endorsing the fact that, I like him. Good. You, however, are still going to be, you the nifkad, you the love, you will still be fully responsible for that money until the money actually gets back into my hands. That's Robert's position. Okay.
Can you say his point is a shliach? Like, is that an official?
Yeah, official. Absolutely.
So if you appoint somebody to act in your stead, why would you not be relieved of liability?
So that's good. So you're right now seeing the world like Rav Chisda. It's easy to see the world from Rav Chisda. You're in Rav Chisda's camp. Good. You're in good company. What Rabbah will tell you, I mean, the Gemara said it. I'm just repeating what we just said. But what Rabbah will tell you is that I am not putting him in my stead. I'm just simply saying he's a good person.
Yeah, but that's not appointing him to Shliach. That's just saying he's a good guy. He's my friend. Okay, great.
Right. Okay. I hear you. I do hear you. Rav Chisda's position is a little bit easier to explain. Certainly easier to defend. I'm with you. Tanan. Okay, so Sheila, I'm going to be lending somebody a cow. Okay, so now what do I do? Is the following, and that is we're talking about the original delivery of the item to the shoel, right? That's a mission bab and seal. So I send it with my son. I send it with my eved. I send it with my shliach. That's the part that we got to key in. So or with his son, his eved, his shliach, the animal dies en route. That shoal is going to be potter. Now, hi shlucho hechidami. Now you notice, by the way, that one of the people that we delivered it with is the shliach of the shoal. Now the Gemara says, now think about that for a moment. Now, what the appointment was done without Edom, we have no idea he's a shliach. So, Ela da'asab Edom obviously was done with Edom. And Ketani de'pater, Kashal Rav Chisda. And yet, Petur. And that's difficult for Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda tells us, again, it was an easier position to defend, Rav Chisda tells us that when I appoint a shliach, he's me. And if he's me, so the moment it goes into the hands of the shliach, it went into my hand. And yet, the Mishnah in Bamitzia says with real clarity that when I handed it to the Shoel Shliach, it's not yet arrived at the Shoel, and he has not yet accepted liability. Okay, so.
Who's the Shliach? Is it the person that's giving the cow or the person that's watching the cow?
Who is the Shliach of? So the Mishnah B'Metziah says it don't matter. If it's the Shliach of the Shoel, it still is not belong to the Shoel. The Shoel has not accepted liability until he actually receives it.
Left, it's person to person.
Correct. So now this obviously is perfect. So it's obviously difficult for Rav Chista. So the Gemara says, "Kedama Rav Chista b'schira of lekita achanami b'schira of lekita." Rav Chista will tell you the following: the Mishnah Bava Metzia. I know it said the word shliach. I know it does. It didn't mean shliach. It meant, I'm going to use just modern English. It meant my guy. I sent my guy. Rashi does spend more time explaining the terms itself, Schiro and Lakito, but basically it's my guy. In other words, and everyone knows it's my guy. Okay, you got a guy, right? Not everyone's got a guy. But in other words, it wasn't formal Shlichus. Now, I know it is a challenging way to explain the Mishnah, but that's how Rav Chista will explain the Mishnah. Meaning, if I appointed a Shliach with Edim formally, so then I accept liability the moment it gets to the Shliach's hand. I, the Mishnah Bava Metzia, it wasn't my shliach. It was just simply a guy. My guy, but not shlichus. So the Gemara says, okay, what about our Mishnah? Right? From yesterday's daf. If you want to return the stolen item, don't give it to a son and don't give it to a shliach. Now, okay, you made the shliach with Edom, obviously. And you made the shliach with Edom, and I hand the money over to him, and I have not relieved myself of liability. In other words, why not? According to Rav Chista, if this shliach was appointed by the Nigzal, and I hand it to the shliach, we're good, right? We should be good. And yet, our Mishnah says you're not. So, Tirgama Rav Chista b'schir v'lekito. But you know what Rav Chista is going to do, because he did the same thing with the Mishnah Bava Metzia, and he's going to do the same thing with our Mishnah over here. In other words, what the Mishnah meant is not that he formally made a shliach, it was just simply his guy. His guy. So the Gemara says, that's fascinating. So if Rav Chista is right, so why doesn't our Mishnah make such a precise distinction? Our Mishnah should have said, when is it no good returning the stolen item back to its owner when you just hand it over to his guy? But if I hand it over to a shliach, so then it should work. The Mishnah should say that. That would serve as a much better distinction. So Amri, so the Bnei HaYeshiva say lo psika le. The Mishnah couldn't do that because it's not as simple as you're presenting it. Why? Because shliach based in loshna also nigzal loshna also a gazlan have a shliach psika le. You see, because the Mishnah was talking about a Shlich Beis Din. Shlich Beis Din is fantastic. Shlich Beis Din works under all circumstances. It doesn't matter who appoints the Shlich Beis Din. If it is a court appointed Shliach, even if prompted by the Gazlan, even if prompted by the Nigzal, it doesn't matter, it works. However, Shlich Sha'asa Be'edim, Chiasa Nigzal Hu Davi Shlich, Asa Gazlan Lo Havi Shlich, Lo Psika Lei. But if it's just a regular Shliach, so then it makes all the difference in the world who appointed that regular shliach. If appointed by the Nigzal, it works. If appointed by the Gazlan, obviously it doesn't work. So the reason why the Mishnah elected to go with Shliach Beis Din is just simply because it's a universal shliach that works under all circumstances. Lefugi mehaitana, the Gemara says, oh, by the way, our Mishnah says that a court-appointed shliach is a universal shliach. Happens to be that not everyone agrees with that. Notably, this brisa. Ditanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar Shlech Beisin Shaso Nigzav Velo Aso Gazlan. Oh, Aso Gazlan Vishalachala Venatal Eshalom Miado Pater. This brisa over here says that if the court appointed Shlech was appointed by the Nigzal, then it works. But if appointed by the Gazlan, it doesn't work. So it just happens to be that this brisa over here doesn't agree with our Mishnah, but that's just simply a side point. Okay, where are we right now? Basic machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Huna. Did I say that correctly? I hope I did. Basic machlokes between. Wrong. Okay, now let's say it correctly. A basic machlokes between Rav Chis and Rabbah, and that is that when I appoint a shliach to collect money, or in the case of she'ela, whatever, when I'm transferring money over from A to B, and now B appoints a shliach to receive the money, so now with that appointment of the shliach, and the shliach now taking the money, is that going to now relieve liability from the person who handed over the money? Yes or no? Rav Chisda says it relieves liability at that moment in time. And Rabba says no. Okay. That's the machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rabba. We have a couple of Mishnayos that definitely do not support Rav Chisda's position. Rav Chisda defended his position. Okay. Right. That's Alan was making the same argument. Again, that's why it's easy to defend Rav Chisda. I'm with you. Rabba's position is harder to defend. Okay.
When the Gemara is speaking about a shliach appointed by the Goslin, the Goslin's appointing agents to receive the...
The court appointed shliach. There it's universal, doesn't matter who appointed the who initiated it. If it's a court appointed shliach, it will work, period. If it's not a court appointed shliach, so then the Goslin appointing a shliach doesn't do anything. In other words, then all he's doing is it's just basically he's delivering it, but obviously at risk because his shliach is him. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar Dami Tavayu, shliach she'asa be'edim, havishliach. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar are on the same page of Rav Chisda. You make a shliach to accept money, he's a shliach, he's you. Im tomra mishnah seinu be'mamsilo shliach. Now, what about our mishnah? Now, Rav Yochanan did not like the Rav Chisda version of my guy. Right? I got a guy. Rav Yochanan does a different way of explaining our Mishnah. And that is Mamsel Oshlech. What's Mamsel Oshlech? The Gemara itself explains. Amr le isle zuzigah bepanayim. Velo kamishad de lehu. Itzchaz elei. Dilma inish hu de lo mishkach lishdur elei. What I do is the following. I got money by him. Right now, he's in the next state over. Whatever, I'm having a difficult time. He's not bringing me the money. You happen to be going there? You know what? Do me a favor. Could you stop by and see if maybe he'll give the money to you? And because maybe he just happens to be there, he has no shuttle. In other words, I am not appointing him to be my shliach. I'm just simply saying to him, Mamsi lo, if you happen to be there, could you pick up the money? That's how I'll explain the Mishnah. Again, it is. I was coming at it a little bit differently. It's a dochek, meaning the Mishnah uses the word shliach. And now what Rav Yochanan is saying is, yeah, I know the Mishnah says the word shliach, but it's not real shlichus. It's just if you happen to be there, go pick up the money for me. Inami kid Rav Chisda b'schir lakito. The Gemara says, or another way of defending Rav Yochanan would be the same way that Rav Chisda defended himself. The word shliach doesn't mean shlichus; it means I have a guy. That's all. I just simply have a guy. I'm Rav Yehuda Shmuel. Okay, and now we're almost finished with the sugya. We turn to the Amud Beis. Ein Meshachin Maos B'diukne V'afilu Edim Chasum Amalaha. Shmuel takes a hard line position about sending money, and that is you can't send money. Now, of course, you can, but in other words, the courier who was authorized to receive the money will not absolve liability of the person sending the money. Will not. And Shmuel's position, such a hardline position. I don't care that there's a diukno. Okay, Rashi explains diukno over here means a letter of authorization. And I don't care. Afilo edim chasum amala. I don't care witnesses signed on it. In other words, if you are not handing the money over to the principal, the person who you owe the money to, if you're not handing over to him, you still have liability for that money being shuttled. And even if the courier has got a letter saying, I was authorized to accept the money, obviously, right, Shmuel is not going to be happy with the shliach as well. It don't matter. You will not be resolved from liability. Rav Yochanan will tell you that if witnesses are signing on this document, you can go in and send. Amre lishmuel maitakante. Oh, so, you know... Right, back in the day we had Western Union. Nowadays we have Zelle. You know, sending money, sending money, obviously, is a necessity of life. In other words, it's how we function. So for Shmuel's radical position, I say radical, I just simply mean it's the most extreme that we've seen. In Shmuel's radical position, how do you send money? Meaning, there's got to be a way to do so for Shmuel. So how are you going to send money? The Bnei HaYeshiva want to know. Li Shmuel Maitakante. So within the Shita of Shmuel, even an authorized letter is not going to absolve liability. So how do you send money? So Kihad Rabbi Abba Hava Masik Zuzi, but the Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama Amar Leil Rav Safra Bahadidasis I seen in the Ali. So Rabbi Abba was owed money. Okay, I know there's a lot of names going to fly around right now. I'm going to do this really quickly. I apologize. Rabbi Abba was owed money. Rav Yosef Bar Chama owed him the money. And now Rabbi Abba says to Rav Safra, Bahadidasis I seen in the Ali. So you know what? Go ahead and collect my money for me. So Rabbi Abba says to Rav Safra, Ki azal ha'sam. So when Rav Safra goes there, Amalei Rav Abrei, mi kasav his kabalti. So Amalei lo. Do you have a letter of authorization? Do you have a letter that basically says that the moment that you are handed the money, you the courier, the moment that you're handed the money, his kabalti, money collected, money received. It's basically a receipt. Do you have that? He says no. Ihachi zobereshav yichkav lach his kabalti. So go back and get a receipt. I'm only handing you the money if you give me a receipt. So lebesof amar le ikasav lach nami iskabalti lav klumi. And then upon further consideration, he said, you know what? Cancel that. Even if you come back and hand me your receipt, I'm still not going to give you the money. Delma adas shachiv Rabbi Abba v'naflu zizikami yasme. And iskabalti the Rabbi Abba lav klumi. Because who knows? In other words, while you are coming back over here with receipt in hand, ready to hand me the receipt, who knows? Maybe in the interim, Rabbi Abba dies. Oh. Now, we normally don't worry about... Yeah, good, very good. We normally don't worry that people are going to be dying. Rashi writes over here that Rabbi Abba at this point in time was advanced in age. Rashi writes, I'll read the Rashi, it's an important Rashi. Rashi says, Shchiv Rabbi Abba, Zakein Hu. Rabbi Abba was really old at that point in time. Ukvar Batul Shichuso Karim Shitaka Blame. And therefore, while you're en route to collect the money, maybe Rabbi Abba dies. No longer are you a shliach. In other words, you can't be a shliach without the mishleach being alive.
Oh, I was going to say, doesn't he owe the money to inheritance? But it's not the money being owed. It's the shliach because he's no.
You got it. You got it. You got it. It clicked. So I'm a leva elamaitakante. So the gemara says, okay. So you're unhappy with a letter of authorization. You're unhappy with a receipt. Is there any way that we can make you happy? What in the world can we do? Meaning, I'm ready to give you the money to give back to Rabbi Abba. But it happens to be right now that there's no way that I can hand you the money and relieve my liability. There's got to be a way. So I'm relay. So Elamaita Kante. Zil niknen lech agavara ta'ak sovlan his kabalti. Okay, so the Gemara says there is a way. And that is what's called Kinyan Agav. In other words, what you're going to do is that you're going to go back to Rabbi Abba, and what you're going to do is that he is going to be makne. He will transact the money from him to you. Transaction of money. Now, wait one second. Transaction of money. How do you transact money? By handing it to him. Right? In other words, you have to make a kinyan. How do you do the kinyan? So, halachically, you do it via what's called kinyan agav. In other words, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand over property to you, and agav, by dint of the property that I'm handing over to you, I'm also going to be handing metalton to you as well. And over here, the metalton don't even have to be here. Now, the truth of the matter is we had this lengthy discussion back in Kiddushin, whether that's true or whether it's not true, but we're going to assume right now it works. So now what Rabbi Abba, who is the lender, is going to do is transfer over that money from him, from Rabbi Abba, to the courier, to Rav Safra. And in doing so now, who is the owner of the debt now? Rav Safra is now the owner of the debt. Beautiful.
Why would Rabbi Abba do that?
Now Rabbi Abba, in order to do this, Rabbi Abba is going to have to trust. I was wondering the same thing as well. Okay, I like when I think like you. So I was wondering the same thing as well, meaning that Rabbi Abba really is going to have to trust Rav Safra. In other words, otherwise, why doesn't Rav
basically given him the
money? Yep. Ki hadra papa hava masikar say trace alpe zuze bechuzai akninuni alay l'Rav Shmuel bar Abba agav asipa debase. And in fact, the Gemara says that's exactly what Rav Papa did. Rav Papa did this. And Rav Papa was owed a lot of money, right? Numerous Gemaras throughout Shas tell us about the wealth of Rav Papa. And how did he make the money? He was a brewer. Okay, Rav Papa made beer, sold beer. Okay, the original brewer. And so he was owed 12,000 zuz. That's lots and lots of money. The money was out in Beit Chuzayin. He needed somebody to collect it. So what did he do? So using Kenyan Agav, he transferred over that money to Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Rav Shmuel Bar Abba went and collected the money because now the Beit Chuzayin were comfortable giving it to Rav Shmuel because Rav Shmuel now, once they handed it over to Rav Shmuel, they were relieved of liability. Oh, they were so happy. And not only were Beit Chuzayin happy, Rav Papa was happy. How happy was Rav Papa? Ki asa nafik la'apei ad tavach. Rav Papa now hearing the news that his money's coming to him, Rav Papa ran all the way to Tavach. Now, I don't know how far Tavach is, but obviously the Gemara is making the point that Rav Papa went out to greet him. He was so happy now that his money was coming home. Okay, good. Adkan. Okay, we're gonna pause over here. Perfect place to pause. Okay. It's so interesting. Really, one topic today. Well, really, we covered two topics. Number one, authorship of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us that when you want to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Gzeila, you got to go and deliver the money to the victim. Period. And we spent a good part of the first part of today's daf. Yeah, that Mishnah Yevamos, right? You stole five possible victims. What do you do, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva? How are they going to react to our Mishnah over here? The Gemara spent a lot of time with this question. Three rounds of discussion. Ultimately, the conclusion of the Gemara is that the cases are not parallel. Because our Mishnah over here is talking about where you know who the victim is. You know who the victim is and you want to do the mitzvah, you're going to go and deliver it back to him. The Mishnah Yevamos is talking about a case where you don't know who the victim is. That was our first big topic of today. And our second big topic of today is, can I give money over to the shliach of the owner of that money? And in giving it to the shliach, do I absolve responsibility? Do I relieve myself of liability of that money? So, and he's a shliach that was appointed using Beis Din. He was a shliach appointed via Edom. So is that going to relieve me of my liability? Rav Chista says, yes, it will. And Rabbah says, no, it will not. So where are we in today's daf? So together with Rav Chista, you could put together Rav Yochanan as well. Rav Yochanan and Rav Chista say that once you have a shliach, he is you, and therefore, when the person hands the money to the shliach, it's as if he handed me the money. That's Rav Chista, that's Rav Yochanan. I, the Mishnayos, Mishnah here, Mishnah in Bamitzia. We'll explain the Mishnayos. Good. On the other side of that, you have Rabba and Shmuel. I'm just organizing our information today. And Rabba and Shmuel says, no, even using a shliach, it's not going to be sufficient. Shmuel was the biggest hardliner of them all. Shmuel says, even with a letter of authorization, Shmuel says, even if you hand the person a receipt saying that I received the money, in any and all of that, Shmuel will tell you I have not relieved liability. So then how do you send money? So we saw at the end of today's daf, according to Shmuel, what you have to do is that you have to actually transfer over the debt, transfer it, kinyan, transfer over the debt to the shliach, then and only then does he relieve the liability.